Chapter 16. Danger for Reggie. Thursday afternoon to evening. Back in his room at the detention centre, Mark thought about his situation for a long time. And then he made a decision. He was going to escape and look for Senator Boyette's body. The first step was to convince Doreen that he was sick. When she came to his room later, Mark said, "I don't feel well." Doreen touched his forehead. "You don't have a temperature," she said. "You must be so tired. I read all about you in the newspaper. These last few days have been very difficult for you. Try to sleep. I'll come and see you later." When Doreen had left, Mark thought, "Next time she comes, she has to think I'm really sick." Meanwhile, in the hospital, in the 9th floor waiting room, Diane listened as Reggie told her what had happened in court and why Mark was still in the detention centre. Then Reggie described the Federal Witness Protection Programme. "It sounds excellent, doesn't it?" she said when she had finished. "I'm not sure," Diane answered slowly. "If we join the programme, we'll have to lie about our past. And one day, somebody from the Mafia might recognise Mark and hurt him." "But you and the boys will receive FBI protection," Reggie said, trying to convince Diane. "I'll think about it," Diane promised. "And if Dr. Greenway says I can leave Ricky, I'll come to court tomorrow." "That'll make Mark happy," said Reggie. When Reggie had left, Diane returned to Ricky's room feeling very depressed. She had no job, no home, and 2 boys with serious problems. She began to think more about the program. In New Orleans, 2 FBI agents, disguised as tourists, followed Maldano into a small restaurant. As Maldano greeted Gronke and joined him at his table, the agents walked past them and went into the kitchen. A man was preparing food and looked surprised to see them. "What's going on?" he asked angrily. The agents showed him their identification cards. "We're FBI agents," one of them said. "What's your name?"
"Sam Dole," said the man nervously.
"I'm the owner of this place." "Sam, we need your help," said the agent.
What do you want me to do?" asked Sam.
He didn't want any trouble with the authorities. The agent took a salt shaker out of his pocket. "All you have to do is put this on the table where these men are sitting," he said, and showed Sam photos of Gronke and Maldano. "We want to hear their conversation. There's a bug in the salt shaker." Sam suddenly recognized Maldano's face from the newspapers.
"That's the guy they think killed Senator Boyette," he exclaimed. "He's connected with the Mafia."
He thought for a moment.
"Maybe I shouldn't get involved," he said nervously.
"Nobody will ever know that you helped us," the agent said.
"Okay, then. I'll do it," said Sam.
"Good," said the agent. "Where can we sit with our listening equipment?"
Use the office," said Sam.
As Sam put the salt shaker on the table, the agents got their listening equipment ready. A moment later, they could hear every word from the table.
"He'll keep quiet," Gronke was saying. "Not if the FBI offers him the Federal Witness Protection Program," said Maldano. "We've got no choice. We have to kill him before he talks."
Gronke detested Maldano's indifferent attitude to murder. Gronke had no problem frightening people or causing fires, but he had never murdered anyone.
"He's in a detention centre," Gronke said. "We can't get near him." Then we'll kill his lawyer, Maldano said. That's a stupid idea. I won't do it, Gronki said.
Then I'll send Pirini to Memphis this weekend, said Maldano. He never refuses a job.
The agents immediately contacted their boss and told him what Maldano was planning. A few minutes later, FBI agents and the police in New Orleans began searching for Pirini, and those in Memphis were alerted about his possible arrival. After getting the news, Truman looked at the clock. It was late, but he decided to visit Reggie. He wanted to tell her the bad news in person.